Like I said previously, 99.5% of your clients are going to be monosold, but every once in a while, you do come across a client that is soul shifting. And sometimes we attract a whole bunch of people that are soul shifting all at once. So it does happen. If some of your practice clients are soul shifting, don't question your own accuracy. It actually happens. All right. But in this video, we're going to talk about what to do when you do encounter a client that is soul shifting. So you'll want to ask the following. How many souls are involved in the soul shifting situation? Now, it's always going to be at least two, but you can keep going. Two, is it two? If you get a no, you can ask, is it three? If you get a no, you'll move on to four. Usually it's between two and four, but sometimes it's more. And then you want to ask, is this a one-time situation? Now, if it's a one-time situation, then there's only going to be two souls involved, all right? So you can ask, is this a one-time situation or is it ongoing? So in a soul shifting situation, like I said, different souls are coming in and out of the body at different times. And soul shifting situations mostly are the result of past life negative choices. You're going to learn how to research the root cause of soul shifting situations a little later in this program. For now, it's simply important that we establish which soul you're accessing. So later on, when we deal with the negative blocks and restrictions, you'll discover exactly how to research how the soul shifting situation came about, which negative choices the client made that led to this situation, because it is pretty serious. And we want to be able to give the client the complete picture. There's always really good energetic reasons for soul shifting situations. So please know you will be able to tell the client something more than, hey, there's another soul wandering in and out of your body. That would be alarming. Okay, that's not how we roll. So there will be more information coming. But for now, we just need to know, well, which soul are we actually accessing information for? So the way we designate these souls is as the first breath of life soul, second breath of life soul, third breath of life soul, because a soul enters an incarnation when we take our first breath. So which soul was there when we took our first breath? All right, that's the first breath of life soul. Now, second and third breath of life souls, they may come in later in the incarnation. Sometimes soul shifting doesn't start until we're like 10 years old or 20 years old, but normally it is a situation that is already there right at birth. So the first breath of life soul, second breath of life soul, third breath of life soul, it really indicates in what order the souls come in to the incarnation. That's what that designates, all right? So even if the second breath of life soul doesn't come in until age 10, and that's when it first comes into the body, it's still the second breath of life soul because that soul enters at that breath of life, all right? It's a little bit odd, but just roll with it. Now, you'll want to discover how many souls are involved and which soul was actually intended for the incarnation, and whether this situation is one time or ongoing. Now, soul shifting situations either are a one-time thing or they're ongoing. They can't be both, obviously. Here's what a one-time soul shift is. One soul leaves the incarnation and another comes in. It's really just one time that there's a shift. One soul exits, another enters. And the second breath of life soul is always your client in this case. A one-time soul shifting situation is really, okay, you get born, there's a soul in there, and at some point that soul exits and another soul comes in and lives out the incarnation. So there's just one single switch. They don't switch back and forth. One soul leaves, the other comes in. And that's it. That's the definition of a one-time soul shifting situation. It is very rare that this happens. It is also referred to as a walk-in situation, and it is the only soul shifting situation that we do not clear. There's nothing actually wrong. Nothing needs to be cleared. Nothing needs to be fixed. One-time soul shifting situations typically occur in young childhood. A soul sometimes chooses to opt out of an incarnation. We don't always know why the soul does that, but it does occasionally happen. The other reason that we know about why this might happen is that parents of young children might make a radical departure in the quality of their choices and take the life that they're providing for their child completely out of alignment to the child's divine soul blueprint. Now, this would include huge major life changes and major upheaval. Even if this upheaval seems to be for the better, it's just a departure from the parent's normal choice trajectory. I mean, they just kind of go off the rails, even if it's off the rails for a better, but it is just a radical departure. Okay, sometimes that can cause a walk-in or a one-time soul shifting situation. It's very rare. Most of us don't really change our lives in highly unpredictable ways, but free will does allow for it, right? Parents theoretically can make a huge shift in choice and karmic consequence, and that can pose a problem for a child's soul, given that toddlers are completely subject to the will of their parents. So when that soul entered the incarnation, it was vibrationally totally congruent to that circumstance, right? So the circumstances of our birth, the kind of family we were going to be born into, that doesn't mean it's a great family, it's just vibrationally congruent. And we'll talk more about how we actually choose the circumstances that we're born into a little bit later on in this course, but there has to be a vibrational match between who we are at soul level and who our parents are and our parents' circumstances and the kind of childhood that we will have. Otherwise, if there's no vibrational match, we can't possibly be born into that family at that time. All right, so now here go our parents, and suddenly they were going this way and now they're taking a sharp right turn. This is no longer a vibrational match for this child's soul. What is the soul to do? Well, the soul does have an option to opt out. It happens extremely rarely. I mean, most people don't make a radical departure like that. They really, really don't. But it would be appropriate then for a soul that is a vibrational match for the child's circumstances to take over that incarnation, because it can no longer serve the original soul's divine self-expression. And both souls involved in a one-time soul shifting situation are in collaboration when making the transition. So they actually agree to do this. Walk-in situations occur during unconsciousness or illness or sleep, and because they usually happen in early childhood, the client will not have a memory of the event. However, every person who hears about this phenomenon swears up and down that they are a walk-in. I don't know, it's really popular in the spiritual development world. It's also really misunderstood, but if you tell a client what a walk-in situation is, they'll be like, oh my God, I think I'm a walk-in. So we will sometimes get clients who are like, I'm a walk-in. Please do not take the client's word for it, because sometimes we do have a radical shift in our lives where we feel like we became a different person. We'll just undergo amazingly significant transformations. That does not signify a walk-in situation. All right, but people misinterpret it, and I don't know, the phenomenon has gotten tremendously romanticized. It's become really popular. And so sometimes clients will come to us and tell us they're a walk-in. Don't believe them just because they tell you. Please go ahead and check for yourself. Look at their records. Chances are there was no soul shifting situation. And it's okay to tell the client that. Now, clients who do experience a one-time soul shift may not feel quite at home or at ease in their bodies. And this is one of the reasons we want to communicate to them that they did have a one-time soul shifting situation. We just want to validate for them the way they feel. They may also occasionally feel like they're living someone else's life. It's almost like they feel like they're just pretending or going through the motions. Again, this is something that we can really validate for them, because it's actually true. They're not quite living their own life. They took over another soul's incarnation. Now, they may have trouble relating to their bodies because their soul didn't actually prepare its own physical body during gestation, during pregnancy. Nor did it have a transition time immediately after birth to really integrate and get used to its new physicality. So it's kind of rough for a soul to take over mid-incarnation. And explaining this phenomenon to the client can really help them accept their relationship with their body and their life in general from a new perspective, and it really affirms their experience so far. So we always want to tell the client that they've been in a one-time soul shifting situation and just validate for them how they may feel. But the second breath of life soul is the soul that we're accessing information about. Let's just be really clear about that. All right, we actually don't want to research what kind of soul the first breath of life soul was. That soul is no longer in this incarnation. Especially for a client that has experienced a one-time soul shift, we really want to help them focus on who they are now at soul level, rather than distracting them with irrelevant information about their previous soul. And occasionally clients will be really curious. They'll be like, well, who was that other soul? Who was I before? And you know what? Please tell them, you know what? It doesn't matter. We need to focus on who you are at soul level right now, because that is the divine soul blueprint that you are here to express. That is the divine soul blueprint that will give you the most access to vital force energy and will help you create the life you want. So that other soul is none of our business. It's gone. It's not here anymore. Bye-bye. We need to focus the client on who they are at soul level now. So please don't give in to your client's curiosity, much like you don't want to give in to your own when it comes to this work. Now, ongoing soul shifting situations are a very different type of deal. They are never in alignment with a soul's divine self-expression because they really limit the soul's ability to experience itself in this incarnation through choice. It's never appropriate to have another soul temporarily take over the incarnation through which our soul is seeking to experience itself. And we always clear ongoing soul shifting situations. And just so you know, ongoing soul shifting situations is really like you've got the first breath of life soul, and then another soul comes in for a while and then goes out, and sometimes maybe a third soul will come in and go out, and then the first soul will be back in. And it's like a revolving door of a body, where souls are coming in and out. It's almost like a rotation. That's what an ongoing soul shifting situation looks like energetically. That may happen a lot or it may happen infrequently, but there's this going back and forth and back and forth for the souls involved. We always clear it. But before we can clear it, we have to understand how it came about. And like I said, you will learn how to do that research later in this course when we look at negative blocks and restrictions. For now, we want to know which soul was intended for the incarnation, because that intended soul is your client and it's the only soul you need access for when you move forward with your session. Since you won't yet know why the situation is ongoing, please don't tell any practice clients that they're soul shifting. Please don't. You don't know everything that you need to know yet, and it would just alarm them. There's more research to be done. You only want to relay this information once you have the full scoop, okay? Please don't freak your practice clients out. So for ongoing soul shifting situations only, you will want to ask which soul was originally intended for this physical incarnation. Now, usually, about 60-70% of the time, it's the first breath of life soul. Sometimes it's others, but whichever soul comes up as intended, that is your client. So you've already established how many souls are involved, right? So now you can say, well, which soul was intended for the incarnation? Is it the first breath of life soul? Hopefully you'll get a yes. If not, though, you'll continue. Is it the second breath of life soul, third breath of life soul? However many there are involved, you'll want to ask about. And of course, one of them had to have been intended. They can't all not have been intended. That would make no sense. And we use reason and logic in this modality. All right. So one of the souls that is involved in the soul shifting situation will have been intended for that physical incarnation. So then you want to ask, well, what percentage of the time does each soul spend in the body? And you want to ask about the first breath of life soul first, could be more than 50%, more than 60%. Then you want to ask, what percentage of time does the second breath of life soul spend in the body? And if there's a third soul and a fourth soul, you also want to ask about their percentages as well. Now, obviously, it must add up to 100%. There's always got to be a soul in the body. The body is never devoid of a soul. The Akashic Records don't do math. Mathematics and percentages are a fourth dimensional mental construct that we use as human beings. So, if it comes up that the first breath of life soul is in the body 40% of the time, maybe pull out a calculator and put 40. And then second breath of life soul, you either know that they have to be spending 60% if there's only two souls involved, right? Just makes sense. But if you've got like four souls going in and out, and the second breath of life soul is in there 23%, and then the third breath of life soul is in there, you know, 14%, you actually want to add and keep track of the percentages in your mind. Because remember, the mental frame of reference to uphold that, that's your job. We need to do that at the level of the conscious mind. Please don't think that the Akashic Records can do math for you and that if you ask, magically it'll add up to 100% if you're not keeping track. It won't. And the next thing you know, you'll have four souls that are spending a total of 124% in the body, and it doesn't make sense, right? So mathematics and percentages are a human concept. They don't exist fifth dimensionally. You're the one who has to actually supply that frame of reference. So just to avoid confusion, please just keep track of the percentages and you make sure they add up to 100% in the end. It's easier when there's only two souls involved, but sometimes you really get complex situations and you kind of have to keep track as the percentages add up. And then you may want to also ask whether the soul shift happens daily, weekly, monthly, or even less than monthly. So at this point, you'll want to specify which soul you're accessing. And this is your only client. So it's not necessary to research who the other souls are. You're definitely going to research the relationship between the two soul, between the souls later, right? But you don't need to know who they are. So all you want to do from this point on in the session is you want to say, okay, from this point forward, I'm asking all questions about the first breath of life soul, or if it was intended, the second breath of life soul, whichever soul was intended. So you just want to really set that intention out loud, and you want to set it again each time you access the records for this particular client. Please don't forget to specify which soul you're asking about and which soul you're actually accessing. So for all questions in this client's records in the protocols, replace this soul with the first breath of life soul or the second breath of life soul as appropriate. Really important. Now, when a client is experiencing an ongoing soul shifting situation, they will at times find themselves making choices that are highly out of character. They're just different from what they would normally choose to do. Depending on the relationship between the souls involved, sometimes these are out of character choices that can be very self-sabotaging. Now, by no means is ongoing soul shifting an indication of multiple personality disorders. Soul shifting clients can function fairly well in life. This is not a psychological phenomenon. It is a spiritual and energetic phenomenon. So please don't think that suddenly you're client is acting like a different person and they're using a different name and they're suddenly, you know, male when they were, no, it's not multiple personality disorders. It's not that dramatic, actually. They may just find themselves frequently stuck or constantly feel like they're banging their head against an invisible wall when it comes to reaching their goals. Two souls can't possibly make positive choices while sharing the same incarnation, right? Because they've got different divine soul blueprints, so positive and negative choices are going to look different for each of them. So it's constantly a back and forth. And what soul shifting clients do is they find themselves at a standstill for much of their lives. Although this lack of productive forward movement might be masked by a lot of drama and upheaval. Trying to operate with two different divine soul blueprints makes it very, very difficult to receive enough vital force energy. So these clients not only may engage in a lot of attention-seeking behavior and therefore create drama, because that gets lots of attention, they may over time also manifest some health issues. I found that a lot of clients who come in for health issues will be soul shifting because they're so deprived of vital force energy that it actually starts affecting the physical body. It's not always the case, but it does frequently happen because when we don't get enough vital force energy, our physical body starts manifesting problems. So we need enough vital force energy to stay healthy at the physical level. And just two different divine soul blueprints just make it very, very difficult to go through life. So they may engage in quite a lot of attention-seeking behavior. In our clients, that can translate to wanting help and wanting support and perhaps even quite a bit of victimization energy. So sometimes these clients really, really, really want you to help them. They really want your attention. They can be a little bit needy. Lots of follow-up emails. They may want follow-up calls with you. They may be concerned, I don't know if it worked, right? So just, you can expect that kind of thing from someone who's been soul shifting right after a session. They're still in those patterns of choice. Now, please understand clients will not black out. They're not going to lose time when they're soul shifting. Again, it's not a psychological phenomenon. The mind is not affected at the level of our subconscious memory. So your client won't really be consciously aware that they're soul shifting, and certainly they're not going to have memory loss associated with it at the subconscious level. So how affected the client is depends on how much time the various souls spend in the body. If the soul shifting situation is really occasional, with just one additional soul that spends only 5% or so in the incarnation, the client will not struggle as much as if an additional soul is taking up 40% of the incarnation or more and the soul shifting situation happens weekly. So that's why we want to ask how often it happens and about the different percentages of time that each soul spends in the body. It just lets us know exactly how affected the client will be by this phenomenon. Now, I want to say one very important thing about you. After you enroll, I actually check for soul shifting situations. I make sure that you're a positive soul. I also check for blocks to truth. If you are in this program, you are definitely a positive soul. You are also not soul shifting. You do not have a shell. You are not practicing light power imaging. And you are not a changeling soul, all right? I can just affirm that for you already. All of these issues actually prevent us from accurately accessing the fifth dimension. That's why I check for them. So please rest assured, none of this is going on for you. And congrats, because you've pretty much made it through the most difficult part of this program. It's all downhill from here. So what I would ask you to do now is please locate the soul for each of your practice clients. Establish whether they're positive or negative, clear any blocks to truth that you may find. And what I also do is I always put the entire dowsing protocol for a lesson in your written notes in its totality. So we have little bits of the protocols throughout the lesson, but if you go to the back of the notes for each lesson, you'll have the entire protocol for that lesson. It just makes it easier so that you can go through it all in one fell swoop and you don't have to check through a bunch of pages or the videos to see what the questions are. All right, so you'll want to complete this much work for all of your practice clients before moving on. But please rest assured, the rest of this gets much simpler and a lot easier.